Let's bow. Holy Father, we are just amazed to be here in your presence this morning. Father, to be able to sing these songs to you, to open our hearts, to open our souls, to collectively join together to lift you up, Father, we just give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. We just say hallelujah. What a privilege it is to be your children. Father, be with us this morning as we open up your word, as we allow your word to penetrate into our lives and into our hearts. And Father, help us this morning to do something perhaps a little different. Help us, Father, to bow down before your throne and to allow your message, your word, your power to change us. So that as we come in contact with you this morning, we leave forever changed. Father, we leave feeling your hope, feeling your grace, feeling your forgiveness. Father, we love you so much. And it's through your Son's most holy and blessed name that we pray. Amen. Go ahead, if you brought your Bibles, and be turning to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to be there this morning as we begin a new series of messages on this idea of closer. Now, as you think about this for a moment, I want those of you who are able to remember these kind of events to remember what it was like to be at a revival. Go back maybe 15, 20, 30 years ago to a revival. For me, growing up at the Homewood Church in Birmingham, I can remember as a little kid loving these events. That we would put a huge tent up in the parking lot, and they would put these big speakers up. And they would put these speakers up, and they wouldn't face towards the inside of the tent. They would face which way? Do you remember? They would face out. And I can remember as a little kid, there would be these bales of hay that people would sit on. And I can remember as a young 8 or 9 year old guy back in the early 80s, jumping from bale of hay to another bale of hay. And I remember a speaker going on and on and on and on and on for days on end and weeks on end. But it was this amazing thing for that time where people found this sense of renewal. Maybe some of you can even remember becoming a follower of Jesus at one of those events. Why? What is it about a revival? What is it about a renewal? What is it about a time to reconnect that draws us closer? That draws us closer to God, that draws us closer to each other, that causes us to remember this amazing relationship that we have with God and how it's so easy for us, if we're not careful, to lose that sense of connection. So what I want us to do over the next few weeks, we're going to do this on Sundays, we're not going to do this, we're not going to put a tent up outside, and we're not going to have speakers, and we're not going to have bales of hay for kids to jump on, and all the crazy stuff back then. We're going to do this on Sunday mornings. We're going to spend some time together over the next few weeks, the next few months, having, if you will, somewhat of a revival, having somewhat of a time of renewal, where we draw closer to God through a period of about 2 or 3 weeks, and then we're going to focus on drawing closer to one another, where we get closer to each other. Maybe we'll even scoot in a little bit in the pews and kind of snuggle in a little bit. Would you like that? No? Yes? You know, I love it. You know, for a preacher, one of the best things to hear is for somebody to get up, you know, maybe through the first couple of songs and to say, hey, you know what? There are still people out in the foyer. Can you squeeze together and make room for people? I mean, that's a wonderful thing to hear. But do you like sitting that close together? Do you? Yes or no, church? Yes? Let me ask you this. How much do you love the person sitting next to you? Do you love them a lot? Yes or no? If you're married to that person, you better say hallelujah, yes. If you're not married and you want to get married, you better say hallelujah, yes. I want you to think about this for a minute, though. One of the things that I want us to look at this morning is this passage in 2 Kings 6. Because as we begin to dig into this idea of drawing closer to God, of really this morning taking an inventory of our life and our walk with God, I want you to think about a few things. Because it's so easy for us to get into a spiritual slump. It is so easy for us to find ourselves when we get so wrapped up with the world and we get so wrapped up with what's going on in our lives and we find ourselves in a spiritual slump. And how do you know if you're in a spiritual slump? Well, I probably, if it was up to me, I would probably coin this phrase as a spiritual rut. You know me, and you know how much I love my routine. I'm a creature of habit. I do the same thing the same way over and over again. I do it at the same time every day. They have weird, you know, letters for people like me, you know, that specialists go out there, and it's O-C, what's the last one? Okay, I don't know that I'm all there yet, but when it comes to a rhythm and a routine, I like my stuff. I just do. How many of you are loud and proud, and you'd say you are OCD when it comes to that? Anybody want to own that? Is that a scary thing for an OCD person to do? Here's the thing. If we're not careful, we can become OCD Christians. Where we just obsessively, compulsively desire to stay in this rut of repetition. And what happens when we find ourselves in a rut of repetition, it's where we do everything the same way at the same time every day, but it loses its meaning. And what ends up happening in a spiritual rut is repetition takes the place of relationship. Where we come together on the first day of the week like we do right now, and Joe's done such a wonderful job the last 2 weeks. Thank you so much for filling in and being here with us. Hadn't it been great, guys? I was waiting. I'm trying to help that corner. There is no amen corner. It's the Connor corner over here. I didn't realize they all had four kids. I thought you only had three. Y'all are growing even more. But, to sing the song, when you come on the first day of the week, and you're here because this is just where you go. And you go to class because that's just what you do. And you sing songs because that's just what you've always done growing up. And you come and you offer up prayers and these emblems, these holy emblems and what they represent. If we're not careful, they lose the significance of the moment in which these emblems were prayed over initially and what they were to represent and what they were to mean to us as a follower of Jesus and what that is supposed to speak into our life as a collective body and what that means to us. If we're not careful, we get into this spiritual rut of just this repetition of doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and it loses the significance. So I want us to start, as we begin the next 6 to 8 weeks together, looking at how do we get out of that slump. And I don't know where you are this morning, but we're going to ask some questions. Maybe some penetrating questions for all of us to look at, but I want you to think about where you are this morning. If this is going to be one of those kind of revival moments where we have an opportunity to kind of revive a relationship with God, to reconnect with God, to draw closer to God, how do we do that? How do we find our way out of the rut and out of the slump into this life-giving relationship that God wants to have with us? Let's notice 2 Kings chapter 6, and let's unearth some of the things in here that will help us, I believe, get there. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Notice this. Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went. And when they had come to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and he took it up. Now this passage is one that you probably are somewhat familiar with. A floating axe head is one of those passages that always kind of intrigues people. What's really taking place here? And I want us to focus on the axe head a little bit, but more importantly, I want us to focus on the dynamics of what was going on behind the axe head. Because I want you to see what is taking place, because I think there's a beautiful spiritual principle for us this morning on this idea of how do we reconnect with God? How do we reconnect with Him? How do we get out of this slump? Before we get into that, I want to ask you a question, and it's something that I want us to ask over and over again this morning, and that is this. Has there ever been a time, this is only for you, this is not for the person that you just said I love to the next, whichever side of you he or she is sitting on, this is for you. Has there ever been a time in your life or in your journey with God that you have been closer to Him? Has there ever been a time in your life where you have been closer to God? Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about your walk with God. Some of you have been walking with God on this journey as a follower for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And it might be easy for you over a 60-year period to look back and go, you know what, I was closer to God here. Maybe for some of you who've only been following for a couple of years or maybe 10 years or less, it might be more difficult. But I want you to think about that this morning, because here's the thing. If you can come up with a time right now where you can remember in your own life where you were closer to God, I want to ask you to do something this morning. I want you to think about this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to reconnect with God? Because if you can remember a time where you used to be closer to Him, what are we going to do together this morning that draws us all to a relationship that is so tight with God that we can say this morning as we leave here, there has never been a time in my entire life where I have been this close to God? Church, would you want to say that this morning? Yes or no? Where there's never been a time in my entire life that I can remember where I have been this connected and this close to God. How do we get there? Notice, if you will, right here, beginning in verse 5 of 2 Kings 6. Notice what happens. But as one was felling a log, he was cutting a log, his axe fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Notice what was happening here. He's cutting a log, and all of a sudden, he loses the end of the axe. It falls off into the water, and he does something. He runs immediately to his master, and he says, "Hey, what I was doing, it's broke. It's now fallen." He immediately admitted, and this is what I want you to see. The first thing is we have to admit that we've lost it. We have to admit this morning that maybe we aren't as close to God as we once were. We have to admit this morning that maybe there is some distance between our relationship. We have to admit this morning that there is something that might stand between us and God. Maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe it's an attitude that has gone unchecked. I tell you, what's been going on this weekend is so scary, because there's so much hatred in our world. Putrid hatred. It's sickening to me to imagine that people think that because they are one race or one nationality or one religion or whatever, that they can look down and be so hateful on someone else. And the thing is, for us this morning, as a revival, as a renewal, we've got to guard our hearts, and we've got to check our hearts this morning and to make sure that every unchecked emotion and every unchecked attitude and every unchecked thought that has not been given up to God and sacrificed to God is something that we are willing to do something about this morning. Where we are willing to say this morning, I'm not going to leave here with any kind of hatred in my heart. I'm not going to leave here with any kind of sin that stands between me and God. I'm not willing to leave here this morning and not know that I am so close to God because I've emptied myself. But it starts with us admitting it. And this is huge. This is where denial gets us in so much trouble. We have to stop living a life of denial. And I'm not talking about some river in Egypt. We have to stop denying that maybe we are a sinner. We have to stop denying that maybe there are some things that we need to deal with in our own life. We've got to stop denying that there's distance between us and God. We have to stop denying and living this life that we've made up in our mind that everything's okay. If we ever want to get out of the rut, we have to admit it. Now, I want you to notice what this guy could have done. This guy very easily could have done a couple of different things. When his axe head broke, the first thing he could have done, which is what probably a lot of us would have done, he could have begun to make excuses. He could have said, well, you gave me a faulty axe. He could have said, well, you're working this too hard. He could have said, well, you know what, the time of day, it's getting a little dark. He could have found all the excuses in the world as to why his axe head broke. But he didn't. He just simply admitted it. He also could have pretended like there was nothing wrong with his axe head. He's there with all these people. The axe head falls off into the water. He could have continued to try to act like he was just going to go through the motions and maybe nobody will notice. This is one of the most dangerous things for church people to do. To just go through the motions. And to think nobody's going to notice. To just go through the motions and to think that nobody is going to notice. Guys, guess what? The one that matters most, he notices. God doesn't look down at us and see the external motions that we go through. God looks into our hearts right now this morning, and he sees what's really going on. God knows if you're here, but your heart's not here. God knows what you're struggling with right now. God feels the hatred and the anger that maybe you're dealing with. God feels the depression and the struggles and all the real issues that are going on in your life that you so easily come to church and put on nice clothes and you come and you sing and you pray and you give because this is just what you do. If we're going to get out of the rut, if we're going to get out of the slump, we're going to have to admit it. I want you to notice the second thing right here in 2 Kings chapter 6. Not only must we admit it, but we have to acknowledge where we lost it. This is huge. If you notice what happens here in verses 5 and verses 6, you see this. As one was felling along, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Let's hold on to that "it was borrowed" statement. We're going to mention that here in just a minute. Then the man of God came and said, notice this, "Where did it fall? Where did you lose it?" Notice what happens. He showed him the place. How many of you right now know the place where you began to drift away from God? How many of you know right now where you can acknowledge that when this relationship, when you began to get into this relationship, it began to pull you away from God? Or maybe when you began this career or whatever it is, it began to pull you away from God. How many of you can look back at your walk with God and you can recognize that maybe today you're not as close as you were when you were back here, and you can recognize what it is in the last, whatever that distance is that's happened, that has caused you to pull away from God? There are so many things that do this. There are so many causes. It's busyness. It's distractions. It's pride. It's power. It's the pursuit of the world that pull us away from being close to God. If all of us this morning could just admit that maybe we're not as close as we want to be, if we could just admit that maybe we go through the motions more than we realize, and then we could look back and acknowledge it was at this point where there was this divergent this in my stream of life where I went this way and God continued on, then it would help us to begin to find a way to get out of this spiritual slump. I want you to notice the third thing right here in 2 Kings. Not only must we admit it and acknowledge where we lost it, we have to expect God to do something this morning. God wants to restore you this morning. God wants to do big things in your life this morning. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. He wants to do it right now. He wants to restore you right now. Not when you clean your act up, not when you figure out a way to get out of this mess that you're in. He wants to do it right now. And I want you to see this. Notice verse 6. Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and he took it up. God specializes in the impossible recoveries. Go ahead if you have your Bibles and be looking at Jeremiah 15. We're going to be there in just 1 second, but I want you to notice this. The greatest recovery story of all time is what? Do you know what it is? The greatest struggle, the greatest separation that has ever existed in the history of mankind was between man and who? God. And God on the cross did something that was absolutely any other way impossible to do. He sent his son to die for you and to die for me. And here's the thing. Wherever you are right now, whatever it is that you feel like is standing in the way of you getting out of the slump or out of the recovery, it is not too big for God. See, Satan does a wonderful thing. He does, it's wonderfully awful, but it is wonderful. He loves to tell us these amazing lies that we can continue to be in the rut, and it's okay because we fit in because we're in a rut, and it's okay to be in a rut because we're always here, and as long as everybody sees us here and they think we're doing okay, that's really all that matters, because it's really what people think that matter the most. So just stay in the rut, keep doing what you've always done, and don't really worry about it. And besides, whatever it is that's going on in your life, God really can't help you. How many of you this morning are expecting God to restore your marriage? How many this morning are expecting God to restore a relationship? You see, here's the thing. When we begin to lose it, the signs that we're in a spiritual slump, one of them is that we lose our love. You go back and look at Revelation chapter 2, beginning there in verse 4 and verse 5, this idea of losing your first love. When you lose the ability to love people, it is a sign that you're in a spiritual rut. When we lose the ability to turn on a television and to see what's taking place in Virginia and to absolutely be broken, and not just to be broken, but to be broken to the point that we want to make sure that we go out and we speak out for the oppressed, and we speak out for those who are hurt, and we speak out for those who've experienced so much hatred in their life. It's a sign there's something going on in our life. There's a sign right now in your life that if you're okay living in sin, private sin, secret sin, if you're okay being separated from God and not being as close to Him as you once were, it is a sign that you're in a spiritual rut. It's a sign that you're just going through the motions. I want you to notice the last thing right here in 2 Kings chapter 6, that last verse. Let's pick up in verse 6. We'll read it again. Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and he threw it in there and he made the iron float. But notice this. He said to him, "Take it up. Take it up." So he reached out his hand and he took it up. You know what? I want us to notice Revelation chapter 2. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 because I want you to see this. This morning, not only must we expect God to restore us, we must reach out and receive Him. It's our response to what Jesus has done for us. But I want you to see this, because I think it's important. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. "But I have this against you." Church, I really want you to hear this. "I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you first had." Notice the prescription. "Remember, therefore, from where you were fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." I want you to notice three things right here in these verses. The first one is remember. Verse 5 there. "Remember therefore from where you have fallen." The second thing is repent. The third thing is repeat. Do the things that you see right there that you first did. Continue to do those things. How do you restore marriage? Well, you remember what it was like when you were dating. You remember, ladies, what it was like to see that strapping, good-looking young dude, right? and how he just took your breath away because he was so handsome. Right, ladies? Guys, yeah, I'm worried. Guys, it's remembering how beautiful your wife was as a girlfriend or as a girl on campus. Do you remember? Guys? Yes. Man, we're going to have to restore some marriages this morning in church. You remember what it was like? You remember writing notes to each other? You remember writing on, for some of y'all been married 70 years, you remember chiseling in stone and sending it to them and all that stuff. Whatever y'all used to do back then, the telegraph, I don't know. How did y'all do this stuff? The two or three line the phone line. I don't know what you did. You were on the phone so long somebody was beeping in, trying to get in, for those of you who remember call waiting. You remember. Man, you remember what it was like. And because you remember what it was like, you realize, man, you know what? I've hurt my spouse. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. And I remember how wonderful it was, and I want to repent of that. And then you repeat. You repeat the very things that you did that created such a wonderful marriage to begin with. All of us this morning need to remember how wonderful our God is. How great and big and beautiful and bold and awesome and amazing he is. And remember what it felt like when we realized that Jesus died for our sins, for my sins. And that I was a sinner, and that without the blood of Jesus, I had the potential to spend my eternity in this awful, for me as a child, burning lake of fire. I still remember it. You remember. And then you realize, I used to be closer to God back then. And because of my own sin, my own busyness, my own desire, I've left him. And we repent. And we repeat the things that drew us closer to God. We give up of ourselves. We surrender our will. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves so closely connected to God that we're out of the rut. The phrase I told you to hold on to was, it was borrowed. Here's the beautiful thing about life. Everything is borrowed. The breath that you are about to breathe, guess what? It's borrowed. This moment that we have right now to be together is a borrowed moment. This moment is not mine and it's not yours. This moment is God's, and it's a moment that he gives us to be together. It's a moment that he gives us to be reminded of how great he is and how much he loves us. It's a moment that he gives us where we can draw closer to him and draw closer to each other. Even the power that we think we have over people, over children, over spouses, it's borrowed power. Who do you think gave you the ability to think? Who do you think gave you the ability to work hard? Who do you think gave you the ability to have the intuition to make decisions? Who do you think gave you everything that you have? It's all borrowed. So we have a moment here as a church. It's God's moment. Let's give it back to him. Let's lose ourselves in the moment of God. And let's admit that maybe we're not as close to him as we once were. Let's admit that. Let's acknowledge wherever it was along the line where we moved away from him. Let's expect God to welcome us back because it's what he's wanting with this moment. And here's the deal. What if for us as a church this morning, we all reached out? We reached out and we received him. You know, I think the air conditioners are out in here. Are they out? The revival has come inside. I didn't set this up. Air conditioner was broke when I got in here this morning. But I love it. I'm sweating. I haven't sweat up here in years. Reminds me of being out there in those sweaty tents with people everywhere and people who are giving their life to Christ. What a beautiful moment for us this morning to give it back to God and say, you know what, this moment is yours, God. And as a church, we're going to confess our sin. And as a church, we're going to become followers. And as a church, we're going to give our life up. We're going to confess that your Son is Lord. And as a church, we're going to repent. And for those of us who've never become a follower, we're going to be baptized. This borrowed moment can become a redeemed moment if we'll just reach out and receive Him. Whatever you do, don't leave. Don't leave this morning unless you feel at this moment in time you are closer to God than any other time in your life. If you're not as close as you want to be, I encourage you to come while we stand and sing.